19 through 21. What was the other one? If I remember. You're close. We probably looked at some of those passages, no doubt about it. But there were two main passages talking about God, that the scripture came from God. Yes, sir. That's exactly right. 2 Timothy 3:16 tells us that all scripture is given by inspiration of God. And so the idea in 2 Peter, what was the idea in 2 Peter? Do you remember the idea that said in chapter 1, verses 1 through 9, what was it? Verses 19 through 21. That's right. So God's word came from God. He gave it to men, men who were holy men of God, and he allowed them to pen the scriptures that we have today and we hold in our hands. And that is important to understand that concept and be able to share that with somebody else, because if God's word didn't come from God and a bunch of men wrote it, and I don't know how many times I've heard this. I was talking to a fellow not too long ago, a guy that was working with me, and he said, I was just sharing with him, and he says, well, I don't believe the Old Testament. You know, just a bunch of guys wrote that. And I said, no, it's all, he said, but now the New Testament, he said, New Testament has some validity to it, is what he said. He wasn't saved, but he at least had that thought. But I said, you know, all scripture is given by inspiration of God. And I said, that includes the Old Testament and how important it is. And so there are a lot of people today that just think the Bible is a bunch of guys got together and wrote it. We know it was over 40 authors that wrote it over 1,600 years, and it was given to us, man. God gave his revelation of who he is to us in the Word of God. If we want to find out who God is, the way he thinks, and what he has for us, it's right here. And it'd be nice if it was just implanted right here, and we just knew it. But it's not that way. We have to do some work, don't we? And of course, how can we understand the Word of God? What has God given us to understand it? Holy Spirit, that's right. And so those of us that have put our faith and trust in Christ, we have the Spirit of God. It helps us to discern. Do we understand every single word and every passage in the Bible? And the reason that is often is because it's not ready for us to receive. As we study and we continue to compare Scripture to Scripture, we're going to learn more and more, and there'll always be things to learn. Always. We'll never know it all, I don't believe, until we see Jesus Christ face to face. This morning, I want you to turn to the book of Luke and go to Luke chapter 24. We're going to talk about God preserves His Word. So Luke chapter 24. And I need, I guess, four people to help me out this morning to read. I need someone to read verses 13 through 17. Okay, Kirk's got the first five verses. Someone read verses 18 through 22. Got a volunteer there. Okay, Tina's volunteering. 23 to 27. Okay, Greg says he'll do that. 28 to 32. One more section. Okay, Josh. All right, so we're in Luke chapter 24. We're going to begin reading verse 13. As we read, just kind of look at the scripture, be thinking about the who, what, when, where, why things, so when we get to it, we can discern and pull out some of the things that we see in the scripture. So, Kirk, go ahead and begin, if you would.
And behold, two of them went that same day to a village called Emmaus, which was from Jerusalem about 3 score furlongs. And they talked together of all these things which had happened. It came to pass that while they communed together and reasoned, Jesus himself drew near and went with them. But their eyes were holden that they should not know him. And he said unto them, what manner of communications are these that ye have one to another, as ye walk and are sad? And one of them...
Yeah, that's 18. No, 18 is the next person. That's okay.
And the one of them, whose name was Cleopas, answering said unto art thou only a stranger in Jerusalem, and hast not known the things which are come to pass there in these days? And he said unto them, what things? And they said unto him, concerning Jesus of Nazareth, which was a prophet, mighty in deed and word before God and all the people, and how the chief priests and our rulers delivered him to be condemned to death and have crucified him. But we trusted that it had been he which should have redeemed Israel. And besides all this, today is the third day since these things were done. Yea, and certain women also of our company made us astonished, which were early at the sepulchre.
Okay.
And when they found not his body, they came, saying that they had also seen a vision of angels, which said that he was alive. And certain of them which were with us went to the sepulchre and found it even so as the women had said, but him they saw not. Then he said unto them, O fools, and slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have spoken. Ought not Christ to have suffered these things, and to enter into his glory? And beginning at Moses and all the prophets, he expounded unto them in all the scriptures the things concerning himself.
Okay.
And they drew nigh unto the village whither they went, and he made as though he would have gone further. But they constrained him, saying, Abide with us, for it is toward evening, and the day is far spent. And he went in to tarry with them. And it came to pass, as he sat and ate with them, he took bread, and blessed it, and brake, and gave to them. And their eyes were opened, and they knew him, and he vanished out of their sight. And they said one to another, Did not our hearts burn within us while he talked with us by the way, and while he opened to us the scriptures?
Thank you. So as we look at this, from this passage, these verses, these 20 verses, what can we observe? Number one, who are the characters here? Who are the characters in this passage? Two disciples and Jesus. And one of those disciples is named Cleopas. His wife is named Mary. If you have a cross-reference Bible, you can see that. It just tells you to go there. But he was the husband of Mary. So there were two disciples and Jesus. Those are the characters of the people that are in this at this time. And, of course, Jesus is in what? What's different about Jesus here in this particular passage? It's after the resurrection. That's right. So he's in that risen body as he is talking to these folks. Where are they at, or where is this taking place? On the road to Emmaus. And it told us that it was 70 furlongs. I don't really know how long a furlong is. My Bible said it's 582 feet. 30 or 70 is 60 times that amount comes to about 6.6 miles. You divide it by 5,280. But anyway, so what else? Where else is it taking place? It's on the road to Emmaus, but also there's another place. The house or the inn, not sure exactly what it is, but it could have been a house, could have been an inn, okay? It doesn't tell us exactly. So it's a place or location where they're going to eat and that thing. So, okay, so when did this happen? What's the time frame of this taking place? As close as we can get. Obviously, we don't know the exact time, but we do know the day, right? I'm sorry? What'd you say? What'd you say? Okay, so it's the day, it's Sunday. It's Sunday is when this is occurring. Because all these things took 3 days prior to this was the crucifixion, the death, the burial, and the resurrection. So this is happening on Sunday that he's walking with these. Because if you go back and look and compare the other scriptures, you see that. Because these guys are going to end up going back to Jerusalem, 6.6 miles after they meet Jesus. It says immediately they did that. Okay, so what were the attitude of these disciples at the time? You can... Sad, that's right, because Jesus noticed them, he was with them, he noticed that they were sad. Now, we know, or we don't know, we're going to find out in Scripture why this happened, so they were sad, but what was the expectation? Why are they sad? In verse 21, you can probably maybe dig it out of there. Why are they sad? Like what? What specific are we talking about? Okay, so they're... Okay. Right. Okay. And more as you keep going down that path, you see that Israel, or these people, his disciples, what did they really believe Jesus was going to do in their mind? That's right. They thought he was going to be the earthly king, take over the Roman rule and hang out here on earth and be their king. And that wasn't the reason Jesus came. But that's what they were thinking. So they were sad. Their countenance was probably, you know, they were disappointed in what happened and they were discouraged. So what did Jesus say to them? What was his response to their discouragement in verse 25 through 27? Okay, look at the scripture. That you're going down that path. Let's continue on, though. He called them fools. You're right. What else did he say in that same passage? He said something else. Okay, did you hear what? Yeah. So what is he talking about? Then look at verse 26. Or verse 25, the finish. They were slow heart to believe what? The Old Testament. Yeah, Moses and the prophets. And the point is that these are Jewish people still. They had the Old Testament. They have all these prophecies. When he talks about Moses and the prophets, and it says here he expounded that, he's talking about the book of the law, right? The Pentateuch, that's Moses. And then the prophets, all those prophets. From the first prophet, and of course other prophets that were in the historical books, but of course Isaiah all the way down through Malachi, all those prophets. And so he's talking about the Old Testament. He's given validity to the Old Testament. He called them slow because they did not understand what the Scriptures taught. And they were kind of missing the mark there. He's trying to say, this is what's supposed to happen. If you'd have read it and understood it, you'd have known that. And that's what he's validating, the Old Testament, isn't he? So as we look at this and we think about this, what is the truth of all this? Jesus used the phrase Moses and the prophets, indicating the Old Testament scriptures revealed all that just had taken place. And he spoke of them often, Moses and the prophets. So what is he referring to? Greg mentioned it's the books of the law and it is the prophets, their writings. Look at verse 44. Someone read that to me, or just tell me what else is included in that, as Jesus is saying here. What else is Jesus given validity to? Verse 44. Okay, but as far as we're talking about the scriptures, what does he say there? And the what? Right, but and the what?
Psalms.
And the Psalms? So what did he just validate or put his stamp of approval on? Right, well, again, specifically, the Pentateuch and the prophets and the book of Psalms. All of those are valid books. Jesus validated those right there when he spoke to them and told them, these things are important. This is where we get and gain understanding of who God is. And again, they didn't have the New Testament. So he's speaking directly to these Jewish people. Again, remember, he's talking to the religious crowd here because, again, these guys are the ones, his disciples initially, were Jews. And they knew the Old Testament. So he's pointing these things out to them to help them to understand what is taking place. And also, again, reminding them what the Old Testament says is true. What does that mean for us today? It means we ought to read it, right? And study it because there's validity in it and it teaches us so much. It teaches us the character of God and the way he thinks about things. You can't escape it. When you read some of those things and there's laws in there and the way the people misbehaved and how God treated them and vice versa, how things went along, we see God's mind and heart in these things. He's merciful. He's kind. He usually didn't do anything quickly against anybody unless it was a transitional period. And we've seen some of those in the Bible. And we will talk about some of those later on. So, again, we know how many books in the Bible. Often there was a phrase Jesus used. He says, "Have ye not read?" When he was talking to the Pharisees and what. So what was he telling them again? I know these are simple questions. I'm sorry. But what's he say? "Have ye not read?" Jesus speaking. Yeah, don't you know your Bible? Pretty much is what he's saying. And these guys were the Pharisees. "Have ye not read?" He said, "Have ye not read what David did when he was a-hungered and they that were with him? Or have ye not read the law, how that on the Sabbath days the priests in the temple profane the Sabbath and are blameless, like a question, but as touching the resurrection of the dead, have ye not read that which was spoken unto you by God, saying?" So Jesus quoted this or said this seven different times in the books of the Gospels, talking about "have ye not read" and how important that is. And again, all the time referring to the Old Testament. When Jesus says, "as it is written," he's referring to the Old Testament. Again, the idea is that we put that understanding that how important the Old Testament is. And this is what we need to understand, because we're going to face people and have opportunities when we share the gospel. And part of the apologetics that we're learning is be able to have the defense of the Bible, is to be able to go to the Old Testament and say, "This is God's word, all of it." And so when we study it and we share that, this is what God is saying. This is what God meant. And this is what happened. Here's what took place in these situations. We know that, where do you think, in Genesis 3:15, we see one of the first prophecies. Do you remember what that was telling us about, that prophecy? Anybody remember? Josh? Tell us what it means. Just tell us what it means. Right. Yeah, bruise the heel and crush the head. That's right. And so it's talking about Jesus' crucifixion, and then it talks about finally Satan be put down. And so again, that's one of the first scriptures or prophecies we see of Jesus Christ. And so as these guys studied the Bible, they could start to learn these things and understand them, especially when Jesus came and he fulfilled all that was done. You can study the Bible and about Jesus being the rock in Exodus, and 1 Corinthians confirms that in chapter 10, verse 4. We see that the Savior was crucified. Psalm 22 is a good psalm to go look about that, or look at that. And then Isaiah 53. Again, all these are there for us to understand. It was there for the Jews to understand. Yet he came unto his own, and his own did what? Received him not. They had the word of God, and what happened was they weren't following God. They were following their own ideas and their own ways. They were making up rules. They were making up things instead of looking to the Word of God and seeing what God wanted them to do and understand. Let's go to another passage. Go to Jeremiah 36. I'll try to set this up for you. Jehoiakim is the son of Josiah, and he's actually... his brother was put on the throne, and the king of Egypt came and he took him off the throne. I'm going to find it here. It's in my Bible, I know. and put up Jehoiakim to be the king over Judah. And it was during this time that we see that the word of God is going to be preserved. And again, as you study chapter 36, and that's where we're at this morning, we're going to see how God is going to work in the life of Jeremiah and others, and what he's going to do here. So, first off, let's just read the first four verses. Who hadn't had a chance to read yet? Who wants to read? Okay, Julia. First four verses of chapter 36.
And then they return every man to his people and hide it.
Jeremiah called
Baruch. Mm-hmm. Very good.
The son of
Uriah. Uriah. Yep.
And Baruch wrote from the mouth of Jeremiah all the words of the Lord which he had spoken at the high rule of the Lord.
Okay. One thing I forgot to say, Josiah was a godly king. When Josiah came into reign, Hilkiah found the book of the law. And when he found it, he took it to Josiah and read it to him. And Josiah, he said, let's give this to the people. And they read it to the people. And it changed the kingdom. They had a revival. Things had changed. Now, through his sons, they just turned from God completely. And here's one of them. Jehoiakim, and we're seeing here that God is speaking to Jeremiah. So when did this take place in this passage, the first four verses? Jehoiakim's reign, right. His name was originally Eliakim, and the king of Egypt changed it to Jehoiakim. And he was 25 when he began to reign, so he was 29 years old when this is happening. Okay, so this is taking place at this particular time. Where did it take place? I'm sorry? Which is located in Jerusalem. Okay? That's where it took place, was in Jerusalem. You could dig through some more of the scripture and you would find it say that, but that's where the house of Judah is, okay? Who actually wrote the scroll that we're talking about here in verse 4? Who wrote the scroll? That's right. Who was instructed to write God's word? That's right. God gave Jeremiah the words. Jeremiah asked Baruch to write those down, and he penned those words for him on a scroll. And so he's got this scroll, and I'm just going to give you a little history because we don't have a lot of time. But from here, between verses 5 through 16, he wrote the script that Jeremiah had received of the Lord. Again, God's words. And that was Jeremiah's job, was not to prophesy about what he knew or what he thought, but was to reveal what God was saying. That's what prophets did. They revealed what God said. They weren't making it up. It was what God was saying. And so he took that, and he was told to go read it to the people. And it was during the day of fasting. So he went, he read these words, the word of God to these people here. And he's telling them, what is he trying to help these people see or do in those verses? Yeah, repent. He was giving them the word of God that they would repent from their sin and turn from it. And that's what we see here in this passage, is that God is speaking through the prophet Jeremiah, and Jeremiah's given the very words to Baruch to write down, and he's going to go read them. Now remember, Jeremiah's in trouble. He couldn't leave because they would lock him up, and this king and him didn't get along too well. And so this is what took place. So he went and read it, and when he did, Micaiah, one of the princes, heard him read this, and he called Baruch to him. In verse 13, then Micaiah declared unto them all the words that he had heard when Baruch read the book in the ears of the people. Therefore all the princes sent Jehudi, the son of Nethaniah, the son of Shelemiah, the son of Cushai, unto Baruch, saying, take in thy hand the roll wherein thou hast read in the ears of the people, and come. So the princes called him together, and they wanted to hear what Baruch read to the people. Micaiah was one of the princes. He heard it. Someone read verse 17 through 19. Who hadn't read it would like to read 17 through 19 in this passage? Anybody? Hadn't read. Okay, Rob.
And they asked Baruch, saying, tell us now, how didst thou write all these words in his mouth? Then Baruch answered them, he pronounced all these words unto me with his mouth, and I wrote them with ink in the book. Is it for 19?
Yes.
And said the princes unto Baruch, go hide thee, thou and Jeremiah, and let no man know where he be.
Okay, so he read these to him. So Jeremiah, what is his job? What has God called him to do? Yeah, he's a prophet. These aren't hard questions, I promise. We're just trying to keep in our minds so we can help somebody else see when you're reading the passage, dig these things out and be able to share and understand and have the idea what, who, when, where, and all that. What advice did the princes give Baruch? What did they tell him to do? Go hide. And who else was supposed to hide? Get lost, guys, because we're going to the king. That's basically what they're doing. And that's exactly what they are doing here. They're going to go to the king. We'll look at that in just a second. So Jeremiah is bringing a message from God of judgment. And these princes knew that when they took this, that Jeremiah and Baruch would be in what? Danger. Okay? And so they said, go hide. And so let's look on and see what has taken place here. And let me ask you this. How does this compare with 2 Peter chapter 1, verses 19 through 21? Holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. How does this compare? Can you pull that out, this passage? We've already talked about it. So what's happening here? Who's the holy man of God here? Jeremiah, that's right. And what is he doing? He is speaking, right, as God is telling him or the Holy Spirit is leading him to do. So when you look at this, you have scripture you can go to when you look at this passage and you can pull those together in the New Testament and the Old Testament teach us the same thing. That's what's important when we study the Bible is compare scripture with scripture so we understand what's going on here. Jeremiah, a holy man of God, is speaking as God has moved him by the Spirit of God, and he's given the word to Baruch, and Baruch is going to take it to the king. Although the princes intervened, said, we'll take it. You go hide. So, somebody read verses 20 through 26. Who hadn't read? 20 through 26. Volunteers? Okay, Janie.
So he sent Hodiah to fetch the roll, and he took it out of Elisha, the scribe's chamber. And Jehudiah read it in the ears of the king, and in the ears of all the princes which stood beside him. Now he sat in the winter house in the ninth month, and there was a fire on the hearth burning before him. That came to pass that when Jehudiah had read 3 or 4 leaves, he cut it with the finger and cast it into the fire that was on the hearth, until all the roll was consumed in the fire that was on the hearth. Yet they were not afraid, nor did the one neither the king nor any of his servants that heard of his words.
Okay, so in this passage, who are they in verse 20? And they went into the king. Who is that going into the king? Yes, that's right. Really, you're right on. So it's the princes that are taking it. So what did what did they do with the scroll here? Nope. What did they do, the princes? Yeah, they laid it up in the chamber of Elishama. So they weren't going to take the scroll right away. They were going to go talk to the king first. And they did. And after they talked to the king, what did he want? Yeah, he wanted the scroll. And so he was sitting there, and so he wanted the scroll, and he's there with the scroll. And what happened when he heard the scroll read? Verse 23. He cut it up with a penknife, and he threw it in the fire. So what did he just do? Rejected the word of God, but to take the next step. That's right. He destroyed it. It's like taking your Bible and casting it into the fire and burning up and not have the word of God anymore. Where did the word of God come from that day? Jeremiah. And he gave it to Baruch. And now it is gone. It is burned up. So the topic we're talking about is God preserves his word. So how do we get the word of God now? It's gone. Everybody understand? There were three guys there that tried to intervene and say, don't do that, king. He didn't listen to them. And he wanted to get Baruch and he wanted to get Jeremiah and he wanted to probably kill him. But look what happens, okay? I'm going to read in verse 27. It says, then the word of the Lord came to Jeremiah after the king had burned the roll and the words which Baruch wrote at the mouth of Jeremiah, saying, take thee again another roll and write it in all the former words that were in the first roll which Jehoiakim, the king of Judah, hath burned. And thou shalt say to Jehoiakim, king of Judah, thus saith the Lord, thou hast burned this roll, saying, why hast thou written therein, saying, the king of Babylon shall certainly come and destroy this land and shall cause to cease from thence man and beast. Therefore, thus saith the Lord of Jehoiakim, king of Judah, he shall have none to sit upon the throne of David, and his dead body shall be cast out in the day to the heat, and in the night to the frost. And I will punish him and his seed and his servants for their iniquity, and I will bring upon them and upon the inhabitants of Jerusalem, upon the men of Judah, and all the evil that I have pronounced against them, but they hearken not. These are the things that were written that were given to Jehoiakim, and he would not repent. We know what happens at the end of the story of this is that the Babylonians come in and they take Judah captive. It does happen. It comes to fruition. God told him it would, but he wouldn't listen. He burned up the word of God. And then verse 32 says, then took Jeremiah another roll and gave it to Baruch, the scribe and the son of Neriah, who wrote therein from the mouth of Jeremiah all the words of the book which Jehoiakim, king of Judah, had burned in the fire, and there were added besides unto them many like words. So what just took place here? Yeah, God preserved his word. So here's something for us as apologetics are people who are studying the word of God and trying to be able to help others and defend the faith. Where the word of God came from? God used holy men and he spake to them and he gave them the word of God by the Spirit of God and they wrote these things down. And when it was destroyed in this particular instance, God told Jeremiah to write it down again. And he gave him some more words. Right now, you hold in your hand the book that Jeremiah penned. Isn't it amazing? And how did it happen? Because God gave him these words. We have the Bible because they're God's words. And it's God who gave them to us. And again, why did he give us the words? Is that we might know him and understand who he is. It's important, and God has given it to us. So the application here, again, for us is to go and study the Word of God. Why do we want to study the Word of God? Because we love God, we want to glorify God, and we want to be able to help others discern who God is. And they too can put their faith and trust in Jesus Christ. And today you about just have to go back to the very beginning to get people to understand who God is, because they've been taught otherwise. And we have the very book we hold in our hands that God has given to us. This is a precious book. I'll be honest with you, don't treat it that way all the time. Ought to, but don't. And it's so important that we let it get into us so we can help others let it get into them. And they know who God is. More importantly, they put their faith and trust in Jesus. Anybody have any thoughts? Preservation of the Word of God. Yeah.
So it just had a brain bird in the story.
He's a scribe.
He's just a scribe.
Yep. Yep. Jeremiah used him to write the word of God. And this happened often. Paul had others pin things down Although God gave them to him, he had others pin them down. In fact, that's how we got the Bible through preservation. Men over the years have written the Word of God over, and that's why, you know, it keeps coming down through all these years. I guess the monks, they used to pin the Word of God, and if they misspell God or something like that, or they just made a mistake, they throw away the script and that type of thing. But God used those men. That's preservation. It's God who preserved the Word of God, and he can use anybody to do that. But God has done that. Anybody else? Good question.
In 23, it says it came to pass that when Jehudah had read 3 or 4 of these, did he not read the whole thing? He says, I just don't want any more of this.
Well, I assume so, because, you know, as he was going through, it just says he 2 or 3 leaves. And again, I try to picture how this is even written on a scroll back then, because in my mind, a scroll is one of these things you roll up and spread out. But here there are leaves of it, maybe like a book or something. Maybe they're written on different pieces of paper or whatever. But he burned, and I'm assuming, based on the Word of God, that he destroyed the whole thing. So maybe he did 3 or 4 leaves and then chunked the whole thing in the fire. But God doesn't give us that information, right? Although he tells us that Jeremiah was to write all the words again. So, good question, though. And those are things that we may not have the answer for. But if God would have given us the answer, we would have it. If he didn't, then we trust him for what, you know, we see in the scripture and understand. Anybody else? Good questions. Well, let's go ahead and close with a word of prayer, and we'll be dismissed. Father, again, we thank you for this day. We thank you for the Word of God. Thank you for how you've given it to us, realizing that these are your words and that we can trust them. Father, we need discernment. We need wisdom. So many people think that everybody has their own interpretation of the Word of God. We know that's not true. I believe the Spirit of God that resides in a believer will guide us into the truth if we seek it. And I'm sure there are times that I look to the Word of God and maybe don't discern it correctly. But that's not your fault. That's mine. And Father, I pray you'd help each one of us to seek the truth of it and help us to understand it. Help guide us through it. Well, thank you for it. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, we're right on time.